Hey everybody, it's Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report, and today we are going to try to talk Army, which is not easy for us two Navy guys. Yeah. So we're going to kind of forget about all the complexities of Ranger 40 contracts and, you know, going to Ranger school or going to RASP or joining the battalion or wearing a beret or what to do to get tabbed. Let's just talk about the physiology of being a Ranger and what that school is going to require and what the job's going to require afterwards as well. So, Jeff, my thing is, and I've written a lot about, you know, the Ranger school and had a lot of guys come through here, my program, and that went off to become Rangers and, you know, on to RASP, you know, had regular guys that were, you know, not Rangers to go through Ranger school and get the tab. You know, so there's, you know, you can look at it a couple different ways, regardless of whether or not you're going to be at a Ranger battalion or what, you might get the opportunity to go through Ranger school. In fact, most officers have to go to Ranger school because it is considered the premier leadership course there in the Army. That's also tough as hell because you're only eating, what, twice a day for 61 days and, you know, you're going to lose a lot of weight and you're going to ruck your ass off. Yep. I mean, you're probably going to average 20-hour days of work. You know, on top of just eating, what's that? Maybe, man, maybe 1,600 calories. You know, total. Yeah, if you're lucky.
I think most MREs are around 1,000-ish.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
I think they're pretty standard. But the point is, this is not enough. I guess is really the point.
Yeah,
MREs aren't exactly what you would consider a readily available source of clean energy either.
Yeah.
As much sodium and preserve, but they have to do. I'm not knocking the MRE.
That's a gut check. I mean, you got to figure out the reason why they did that is because there are times when your supply lines may be cut off and now you're going to be busting your ass working and fighting in wars where, you know, you have to ration your food.
Yeah.
You know,
before you all think, well, wait a minute, we live in the modern era. Telling you, man, when we first went in Afghanistan, no running. I was first in 2009 when I went to Afghanistan, we set up a new post. We didn't have running water. I was there for 152 days. We were using water bottles. We bought solar showers. Now, mind you, I was in an organization that had the budget was in the billions.
Yeah.
We didn't have running water. Yeah. We didn't have laundry. We didn't have any of that. So if you think, well, I'm going to go to the Ranger Battalion, they're super high speed, and or I'm going to go to the SEAL teams or I mean, same thing in Colombia, no running water. Right. And so understand that we kind of, and I have alluded to the kind of like, well, man, you're gonna lose a ton of weight. It's going to suck anyway, but it actually is quite realistic. The initial push into Iraq, in 2003, the SEAL teams that deployed there, they had to, I remember hearing the stories, cause this was, you know, 2 years after I came in. Like, well, 2 years after I actually finally deployed, but I was, you know, had been in the DEP program in 2002, 2003, but talking to guys that, you know, when I first got to SEAL Team 5 a couple years later, they were in the initial push into Iraq and through Baghdad and stuff, and they didn't have any food. And they were literally, when they would do assaults on targets, finding bad guys, they would take the food off target and try, like, we got, like, a goat and, like, rice, and everyone's like, anyone know how to cook goat? And, like, oh, yeah, the corpsman would be like, I know what the insides of a goat are like because of the trauma care they used on goats in 18 Delta. So, like, they had the corpsman cooking the goats because they're the only ones that knew, like, well, that's the stomach, and that's the, don't eat into that, just like,
right,
or whatever. So, guys, I mean, guys were sleeping in the Humvees, setting up hammocks. You know, they'd back the Humvees in, bumper to bumper, four of them, and they'd string their hammocks up in the middle of the damn desert. Right. And they cooked the goat that they took off target. So point is, folks, is that that's the one thing that, like, I'll give a hard time about Ranger school, go, man, they just starved the shit out of them. But it's real. Like it's narcissistic a little bit, but it's like, it's a necessary evil for that selection process.
Yeah. And you know, that is one way to induce a gut check.
Yeah.
Hunger. You know, at Buds, you're never going to be hungry. You know, you just get, you're going to be frozen and you're going to run your ass off, you know, but that's a different type of gut check. In Ranger school, it is hunger and rucking. And if you're not prepared for the load bearing strain on your body, you know, for Ranger School, it's going to be an awful 20-hour day for 61 days for you. So rucking and running, you know, leg, lower back,
strum lifting weights,
a lot of calisthenics, muscle stamina, all of that is required to be a good good Ranger student. So let's talk about the entry test alone. You know, it's not your standard Army PFT, right? You don't have to do just push-ups, sit-ups, and a two-mile run. Maybe, you know, prior to, you know, to qualify or something like that. But then
you still have to, because I correct me if I'm wrong, Stu, maybe you know this, and I'm jumping right where you you don't get a contract just for Ranger School right out of the gate, just like SFAS. You've got to get enlisted in the Army or commissioned in the Army, go to boot camp, OCS, graduate, West Point, whatever it is. Once you get to that and you go, yep, check that box, then you can get the package to go. So it's different to where, you know, you can put all this time right now to prepare to Ranger School. You won't get to actually put that in your contract until you actually enlist.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I think they do have Ranger contracts, but, you know, there's still a lot of hoops to have to go through.
You still have to do the PSTs while you're, once you get into the Army.
Right. Right.
Where it's different in the Navy, where you know, you still are taking in the Navy, but hopefully you guys are understanding what I'm saying. It's just, it's not, the Army SF and Ranger School don't have that big neon sign out saying, hey, we get a pre-approved contract.
Right. Yeah. Or do they have a preparation program for that? Their preparation program is their job.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And that's why, you know, there's nothing in the Navy that prepares the SEAL candidate for BUDS.
Right.
Now you can't go on a ship or, you know, air squadron and, you know, for 2 years and prepare for BUDS. But in the Army, you go infantry, you got the airborne, you know, all those little wickets are a good stepping stone to get to Ranger School. And that's how they set it up.
Yeah. Because what they've done is that you can understand, we kind of talked about the smoke jumpers, right? This was in the 50s where the Army came in, actually it was before that, so World War One. So in the 40s, then really got developed even hardcore in the 50s is like everything that we kind of, that we call the Ranger School pipeline or the SF School pipeline, like he already said, it's boot camp and infantry school, then the airborne, then the actual Ranger School. Those were set in place a long time ago and were broadcasted. If you want to be a Ranger, here's the pipeline.
Yeah.
Now they don't advertise it, but that pipeline still exists.
Yeah.
So it's strange, not in a bad way, but it's just the Army's been doing it right for so darn long. You know what I mean? So much trial and error. The Army's just like, this is what we do. And every single time we get what we want. Now, certainly the Army probably like, we would like more guys, but I think the Army better than the Navy understands this. And this is a really general term. The Army kind of looks back and goes like what I just said, hey, it works. Let's not change it. We might want more guys, but we don't need to fiddle with it. It works.
Yeah.
The Navy for a long time, off and on, will kind of for a couple of years of time, like we got to get rid of Winter Hell Week, or we got to do this, or we got to do that. And they still don't get better numbers. But the Army is just like, it works. Just put them through.
Yeah. And Marine Corps to the same extent. Yeah, I mean, they do the exact same thing. You know, their job prepares them for the next level of special ops. You know, the physicality of being special ops.
For sure.
Whereas there's nothing in the Navy that does that. So that's why the Navy's pipeline to BUDS is a lot different.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's different, but it's the same. But at the same time, when we talk about Ranger School, is they're very well known for being a light assault force, right, to in mass to cover a decent square acreage or body of land, because they are a light strike force unit that really the genesis of them was to take, again, to drop in, to jump in, to march in and take over an airfield or a large cordon, an entire large area, and then do strategic, basically think of like a big catcher's mitt. And off of that big catcher's mitt, they're gonna probe and strike this area, right? And they're going to do it with a bunch of people, right? Yep. Whereas a smaller unit like a SEAL team is going to do a much smaller unit. But again, with the Army, so I don't know. I'm not going to broadcast. There is a number where when a commander in the Navy, SEAL commander is going to go, well, how many people do we have on target that we're going after? If that number exceeds a certain number based off of their people, they won't assault it, which is why when you get to a tier one force, that tier one force will get that number and go, well, we need the Rangers.
Yep.
Or we need to up our numbers using with other units, other government agency, other government assets or military units to up those numbers. Well, the Rangers are a big unit, typically. They can be. So they can mobilize this entire, you know, the 75th of the 1st or something, or 3rd, or or they'll pull in other Rangers because there's more Rangers than other ground forces to get those numbers up and take the whole area.
Right.
So
yeah, the mission's different, but, you know, they're every bit of badasses and have gone through gut checks and, you know, to determine their level of commitment to their job and to their brothers, just as every other special ops unit has. So let's do this. I got an email the other day that was unfortunately a little bit, you know, just underinformed. You know, this guy was like ready to go to, you know, trying to go to Ranger school. And like his number one concern was acing the PT test. I'm like, okay, that's great. But, you know, we're going to have to cycle out of this and, you know, get your 2 mile run time down and push up. But eventually we need to cycle into, you know, adding more weights, you know, deadlifts and squats and, you know, farmer walks and sandbag carries, running up and down stairs, you know, just getting your legs ready for all the load bearing that you are going to have to endure. And, right, you know, progressing your running up to a level where you can add a backpack. You know, one thing I hate is like guys who don't run and they just start backpacking, right? And just start rucking, you know, it's like you got to have a running foundation before you try to start progressing in your rucking expertise, definitely. And usually I would say, you know, you're going to want to at least be at 20 miles a week before you even try to add a ruck to it. And then you can start taking off, you know, one of those long runs, you know, and add it, you know, make it a ruck, right? And then you can still keep progressing with your running and your rucking at the same time to where you're really a rucking and running animal. So that 5 mile timed run that you have to take prior to Ranger school, you can do it under 40 minutes, which is the standard. You have to be under, you know, 8 minute pace for 5 miles.
Yeah. And this is synonymous. I think Ranger school is just the really obvious discussion to have about how to cycle rucking and running. Just because it's so prevalent, you could make the same sort of conversation with SFAS or an SAS program, Aussie or British. But the thing is we just want to cycle intensities, right? We want to cycle intensities, distance, and mass. So that's why we'll say, you know, a lot of people go straight to the rucking. Well, if you look at the physics of it, force equals mass times acceleration. We're trying to up the ground force or the management of that ground force, the feet hitting the ground. You know, if you add mass, that ground force goes up. Unless that mass is so high, your velocity drops. So, and that's where running is like, well, no, the obvious answer is a ruck. Well, people will put 30 to 50 pounds in a rucksack, be able to walk at a pretty good pace thinking, oh, this isn't going to be detrimental because I'm not running. No, physics tells you that because you've upped the ground force so much, you're actually making yourself a little bit more vulnerable to shin splints.
Right.
As opposed to running a bit, rucking a bit. You just cycle them. And again, it's like, well, what does the cycling look like? It's, again, generally speaking, it's this. We don't want to change many variables. Remember, the variables I said are mass, distance, and velocity. Those are the three variables. So, like, let's keep a consistent distance. Well, I'm just going to start off with 2 kilometers. That's it, 3 kilometers. And I'm just going to be mindful and keep my mass the same, 35-pound rucksack. Well, now I'm going to walk it as quickly as I can. I'm going to walk it again as quickly as I can and go, oh, okay, it's sustainable. Now, if I can match that speed distance or that match the speed in which I cover that distance, well, then what do we do? Either we walk faster, we change the mass, or we increase the distance. It's the same in running. But so my point is this, without giving you a whole plan, it's this. Don't do the same thing every time unless you're just validating. Like saying, oh, I got to see if I can keep this pace again because anything worth doing is worth doing or improving you can do it, okay? But keep variety in there. Change the mass, change the pace, change the distance. Just don't change all three of them at once.
Yeah, there you go. That's really good advice.
Just keep rotating. Hey, today I'm going to change the distance. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to change the mass. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to change the speed. And then back through. Just cycle them through, right?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you know, you're going to be upping your mileage up in running and rucking significantly prior to, you know, it's good to not do that every day. You know, maybe take a day off in between a couple of, you know, 2-3 day cycles of hard impact running or rucking. Maybe take that day and make it a mobility day or a non-impact cardio day. So you're still working your lungs, but you're giving your feet and knees and hips and lower back a break.
Get in the water. Yeah, I know that they've, for the most part, removed the water portion from Ranger School. There is still some in the courses that they run, right? Especially if you're going to do like the best Ranger competition, there's a lot of water involved. But the point is that, like we kind of said yesterday in one of our podcasts, is if you're tired, man, get in the water.
Yeah.
Get moving, right?
Yeah.
Get on a bike.
Yeah. There will be a phase where you put on fins. I think in that swamp phase, you got to swim across a river or something or a lake or, you know, so, I mean, being able to know how to use those rocket fins slid over your boots, you know, because that's not a comfortable combination, by the way. If you ever put fins over your boots, you know, it's not like a scuba booty. You lose a lot of mobility.
You put a fin on that forces more ankle flexion and extension, but you're wearing a boot that limits flexion and extension of the ankle. Yeah. It creates a real problem for that tibialis anterior, the front of the shin.
Yeah. And you know what? You ruck differently than you run. At least you should.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise you're going to really hurt yourself. So, you know, getting used to walking fast / shuffling is a different animal than the way you've been running all your life, you know, with all that weight. And you will feel it when you first start it, you're going to feel it right in top bottom part of your shin, you know, right there, just above the ankle.
Yeah.
You know, so
just be mindful, guys. Again, it's not a perfect recipe, but understand that. And this is also where Stu and I are going to say, you know, well, what is preparation Ranger School looked like? Well, preparation Ranger School should be in months in advance.
Oh yeah.
It's like anything else. Okay. The Army tends to be, from what my observation is, a little bit more forgiving on moral waivers and age waivers and certain other things. Their reasoning, it doesn't really matter probably, but I don't know I could guess what it might be, but it's not really.
You know what? I tell people all the time, these jobs aren't looking for choir boys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. I say that all the time. If you have a moral waiver, I wouldn't feel too bad about it.
Right.
Because once again, you know, we're not looking for Boy Scouts either. You know, it's a tough job. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it requires tough people. And sometimes tough people don't make the best decisions. Now, I'm not saying, hey, it's okay to go do crimes, you know, before you join the military. In fact, I would try to avoid it.
Try to avoid jail time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's going to be a harder process for you to get in anywhere. You know, and that's with anything too. That's, you know, even speeding tickets, you know, open container. I'd see a lot of my guys that, you know, are going into these jobs. They have a lot of open container in college or spring break, you know, especially around here in Maryland. They just get you for open container all the time. So you got to be careful, you know. Any drinking and driving is going to be really hard to get through these days.
Yeah. Any DUI is going to be tough.
Yeah. You can't avoid it.
And it's tough. That's the thing too, is like, that's the one, I don't know. Is it whatever classification of, it's not a felony, but whatever classification of crime that is, a DUI while you're active duty is a career killer in most cases.
Oh yeah. I mean,
it doesn't matter what you are. You could be an 06 with 22 years in and a clean record, a DUI will ruin your career.
Yeah. You will be either retiring if you're of the age to retire, or if you're young, you probably won't make the next rank.
Yeah. Especially if you're in a competitive billet and rank.
Yeah.
Like if you're a senior chief trying to make master chief, you will never make master
chief. That's a tough one. Yeah.
If you're an 05, right, you're vying for an XO billet or a CO billet as rank comes, the likelihood of you getting that next rank is probably pretty low.
I tell you what, man, I've seen O2s not get O3 and have to get out because they couldn't make O3. And you know how they, check to make O2 to O3? They do this. Yes, I have a pulse.
Yeah.
You know, I get to where 4 years in, I'm going to be an O3 unless I do something really stupid. And that's one of those things that's really stupid. Yeah. So I know we kind of got off track with moral waivers and things, and we're talking about Ranger stuff, but you know, regardless of what it is, you know, being prepared for Ranger school is a lot different than what Jeff and I did preparing for Bud's training. You know, there's a lot more rucking involved, a lot more running involved. But at the same time, you know, to handle the rucking, you need to be lifting a lot more, and maybe even going into Ranger school a little bit overweight, but not overweight to a point where you are slowing your 5 mile time rundown so you can get in, or decreasing your pull-ups significantly, because you're going to lose 15, 20 pounds probably.
Yeah.
You know, when you go.
And here's the caveat to what Stu has said. What he and I both do not recommend is that you begin implementing a diet or a meal program similar, or what you think might be similar, to what you're going to encounter at Ranger school. Yes, you're going to have some caloric deficit. You're going to be eating MREs. So folks, don't go buy MREs and eat those in preparation. Don't starve yourself. Don't put a diet on that's going to be caloric restriction. Train and eat to support the training, or eat to support your training. Because when you get to Ranger school, that's just the natural progression of that course and selection, is that, hey, we're simulating a real world combat scenario for this duration of time. You're only going to get, because again, you understand the MREs of the food they get is a simulation of what they are going to be taking in the field. And here's the deal. They're going to be carrying what they're eating, and they're only going to be able to carry or eat what they carry, right? They're not going to, like, on the navigation points that are 6, 8, 10 clicks away, they're not going to get there and have like this field cafeteria set up.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey, break down, you're making camp here, set up watches. You guys are in the first watch. You guys are manning the radio. You guys start eating, da, 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 da. You stage it, and you stage naps with your partner. But you're only going to eat what you've been able to carry. So it's real world simulation. You don't need to simulate that when you're training, though.
Right. Yeah, that's good advice. Same advice for when we tell kids, you know, don't get in cold ice buckets cold to prepare for buds. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
go swimming in the ocean. Yeah.
What I would say about the MRE, not getting off track, it's irrelevant, is that to learn how to use an MRE, because there is a bit of a weird, like, because you, if you do it just right, use the MREs, the heaters and such, you can have hot food quick.
Yeah.
You put too much water in, if you do these sort of things, you're eating cold MREs. So that's the side of the MRE, for example, is that maybe it's worth experiencing, right? Maybe it's worth experiencing doing a heavy rucksack and seeing what you can, you know, what is your rucking time, right? You just figure it out to go, absolutely. Oh man, like this sucked, but it was doable or whatever. It's because we Ranger School has broadcast what it's testing.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to simulate some of that testing. So the first time you experience it, it isn't, but I'm not saying for a, hey, for all week, I'm just going to only eat 2 MREs a day and I'm going to train my ass off. Mm. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah. You know what? That's a really good point, Jeff, you made. One thing that I do with my guys is we will go do 3 miles of rucking, and this is kind of like pacing drills that you would do with your, you know, counting paces and things like that. So the first mile is we're just walking and talking.
Yeah.
So conversational pace, walking, we're just curious where that gets us in one mile.
Yep.
Can you do it in 15 miles? That's pretty, or 15 minutes? That's pretty good, right? If you can do it, sometimes it's 15, 16 minutes roughly for us. Now let's do a power walk. So now we're power walking, little less conversation involved, you know, in that you're not on your cell phone talking. I mean, you got to focus a little bit on this power walk. And typically if you do it right, you can get it under 14, 13 and a half, roughly like that. And then the next one is a shuffle, right? And that shuffle kind of depends on how short your stride is, you know, how you're going shuffling. Not quite a run stride, but a little half of a run stride, but you're moving your feet pretty fast. So you got a pretty good,
forward,
you
know, lean.
Yeah. Forward leaning. Yep. Yeah, and you're starting to breathe a little heavier. So see where that is. What do you get that? Can you get 11 minutes? You know, can you get under 12 minutes? You know, those are good times. I mean, some guys break 10 minutes doing that. you know? Yep. And and just know,
you're rocking around 11 minutes per mile. That's pretty freaking fast.
Yeah, that's really good. 11
minutes is smoking fast. But yeah, a lot of people do that. That's, yeah, that will become, so at the end of Ranger School, that's going to pretty much become most of your paces.
Yeah, it's going to be a good standard to be in front of the class. Now, yeah, the minimum standard, which I don't recommend striving for, but just know that that minimum standard is a 15-minute mile. So that is basically just walking moderately fast.
Yeah. You know? So I would say that, like, let's, again, make this hypothetical person really briefly, and this is where I want you, your guys' head to be at a little bit. So we've said, hey, the minimum standard is 15. Stu and I just said 11 minutes is smoking fast. So now let's say, well, when do I go see the recruiter? When am I ready? Well, in your head, if it were me, my head, I'm looking at going, well, I'm not even going to entertain conversating with a recruiter about DEP and Ranger School or Buds or whatever it is until I'm around the 12, 15, 12, 20 and being consistent, yeah, working to get to 11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or something. Like, that's where I'm going to look at and go, well, shit, I don't want to be a 14.
Right.
I certainly don't want to be 15. But if I can, if I can, if my program is consistently taking me to 13, to 12:55, to 12:40, right, and I'm getting towards that, starting working towards that 12 minute, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's with everything else. Like, oh, the minimum standard is 12 pull-ups. Well, really, I'm really shooting for 50% more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what these numbers are. These numbers, when people go auto qual this, or like, what's the what? For me, you got to understand that because of just the failure rate of so many of these selection courses, the people that meet the minimum standard, a lot of those won't even get to Ranger School because they'll quit DEP or whatever, or just decide otherwise, like, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So if you're really serious about it, exceed the numbers.
Absolutely. Exceeding the standard is the standard. You know, especially for any special ops program our military or law enforcement for that matter offers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know we were kind of, I mean, I would certainly, for me personally, a little over the map, and we,
yeah, me too.
You're going to see so many similarities. And if you guys have listened to us, you've seen that, you're hearing the similarities that we're talking about, all these selection courses. You know, there's a common denominator of train, but prepare before you decide.
Yeah.
But also just giving you guys perspective of, like, think about what you're going to physically have to do and train that physicality. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, train to, because if you have physicality as a weakness, got to turn it to a strength. And yeah, if you do it, if your timeline that you create for yourself is ideal, for lack of a better term, you have plenty of time to prep for it.
Yeah. So I agree, Jeff. I think we're good.
So all right, in the comments, same thing. If you kind of feel like, hey, we missed something out that's really, like, again, we meant to really be ambiguous about everything prior to Ranger School, because there are just so many different ways. And like I said, shoot, you could be a dentist having gone to Ranger School in the Army, wear the Ranger tab, but not
being a Ranger. You know what I mean? So
we're purposely leaving that outside because it's like, it's Pandora's box. We're going to focus on prepping for Ranger School specific to become a Ranger in the battalion.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. So leave any comments down in the description and keep asking questions. We'll get to them.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you.
Thanks, Stu.